Greetings, fellow Sleen agents in the wild. It's your trusted handler welcoming you back to the Digital Rage Room, and with your admittance, another episode of our Collateral Damage run-through. So let's handle these shout-outs first, because I like to give props where they're due. The first one goes out to Gilbert Isla from our last episode. I know he was wanting me to give out some gold doubloons, and he was not disappointed, saying, two doubloons in one session? Yep, Gilbert, when the hard slingers are on fire, I gotta give them their gold. Next comment was from Delay of Upload, who commented that every detective has a New Jersey accent. Forget about it. I'm recording here. He did say, though, that it was another good episode, and I personally want to thank you, fellow agent, for appreciating it. Now, we have another comment from old-time listener James Wachter. Brother, where have you been? He commented, I like hearing you guys mull things over. Don't worry about the lack of comments. I'm 3 weeks late listening to this thing, but I've been waiting for the time I could really sit down and enjoy your content. Well, James, we still have quite a few episodes before this season is over, and yes, they've all been recorded. So week by week by week, find that time, listen to them drop. He also mentioned on another comment that he's happy that we are all together. Yeah, it is nice having everyone behind their virtual Eye of Destiny. I know when we recorded Lot 27, we only run it with two of the Hardslingers of yore, and there was a reason. But Collateral Damage is a little bit bigger of a scenario, and it allowed for a few more agents to kind of roam around and interweave with one another and separate out. And I'm not going to give it away. You just got to listen. But remember, fellow agents, I'm all about the shoutouts. So leave a comment and subscribe. I also want to say that I know there are several other Delta Green actual play podcasts out there to choose from, but I personally want to thank each and every one of you for taking the time and listening to us. It really does get me in the feels. All right. Zip it up. It's time to warm up our dice and top off our glass as Roll the Hard 20 presents our homebrew Delta Green scenario, Collateral Damage, Episode 4. Enjoy. Write the time down for this sucker. Whatever. So here we are once again as a full crew.
How long's it been?
3 weeks? 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah, it's been a while. Obviously, the holidays have crunched us up a little bit. Ooh, I'm starting to slur. I'm on my third drink.
He's going into what do they call it when your insulin levels are going up from all the apple juice you're drinking? Yeah. No,
probably.
All the apple juice.
But no, what was kind of funny was, I guess it wasn't funny. I just finished up with Chris and Junior. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, my. But like I was saying earlier, was they don't know what Sam and Tone were doing, and Sam and Tone don't know what Chris and Junior were doing, so it kind of lends a little bit of reality to the fact that when their party hits split apart, they don't know what the other one's doing. So it's kind of cool. Now you guys can sit in and listen to it. So.
And I just finished up the finale of Lot 27. That came out great.
Did you like it?
No.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
No, it came out great. It was fun reliving that last famous and final scene where it's that, like, oh,
final
shit,
stand,
it's fucking going down.
Well, other than the fact we still have an after action report and we still have the epilogues too, but I don't listen to these after I edit them. Like, once they get edited and all the music gets added, I don't listen to them. And so these were done almost right away, so it's been weeks since I've seen or listened to these. And I actually listened to episode 6 and 7 the other day. I was like, you know what? That's some pretty good juicy shit. I like it.
Yeah, really. So great.
Speaking of juice, have another sip.
Thank you. I appreciate you giving me the authorization to continue my inebriation.
What's that, Junior?
Oh, I'm still suffering some of the sanity points from splitting that baby.
No. I don't think you would.
You wouldn't. It would already be nullified.
By recharged now. By then, yeah.
Yeah. So at some point, we will start delving into more of a home life. We'll devote an entire episode to each individual just to see what they're doing to correct the damage that they've had in their mind or how they have to deal with something on the work front. I think that'd be kind of cool. I think a lot of people like listening to the epilogues. They like having a tangibility to where these guys come from as opposed to just getting on mission and doing their thing. I think they like hearing what everybody else is doing too. I think it's kind of cool. So,
well, you notice that, you know, a lot of times in the mission, we're all in work mode, right? So you don't get a lot of the flavor of a character, and you don't really get to know them until you hear those intros and epilogues and stuff like that.
Yeah. Occasionally we'll glean a little into what they're doing for their job outside of this. Like Junior did something really cool last episode and it earned him a gold doubloon, but it was cool to see a little bit of their backstory and to watch it be very visceral as it develops. And that's the kind of stuff I want everybody else to do. I know about Odesso's backstory, but I want to see him live it. You know, we know about Each and Makamura and Rice and Coldwell, but I want to feel that stuff. And I think the other.
What do you mean by Each and Makamura? I mean, we're just friends.
Well, you know, since his partner perished back there in under a pale moon.
Yeah, I was wondering if it was because he was really upset and, you know, worried about finding him. So I didn't know. You know,
I'm going to leave that ambiguous because I don't have a preference either way, but I think that he might have felt the same way if something had happened to you during Lot 27 or even Odesso. So, and also really quick for our listeners out there, what we are going to do is we're going to run some of the other homebrew campaigns that have been ran by other agents. We're going to mix it in with some of the other agents and we're going to label them under disavowed. They're not part of the canon of our Delta Green not theology. What's the word I'm looking for?
You come up with it yourself, man. You got to stop relying on me to say
it's not part of the regular thesocracy of it.
Thesocracy
of this, but that's the word I'm going to use because nobody helps.
It's not canon.
I already said not canon. So
yeah,
anyways,
that's what I mean. It's not. So it'd be kind of cool to see
the other players and how they use their agents in those scenarios. Anyways. Greetings, fellow slingers. Welcome back to Roll the Hard 20 podcast. It is I, your trusted handler, Brian, and with me, my hard slingers of yore.
Yeah.
Episode 4 of our collateral damage homebrew Delta Green scenario. And I was going to roll the dice to see which one of our two teams I would field first. Obviously, we have Agent Akami and Agent Odysseus following on a suicide scene with Detective Ramsey, and we have Agent Omega and Agent Odin working with Detective Tom Haynes with a murder. But I'm just going to go, what was that?
Loading dice.
I'm just going to go with Agent Okami and Agent Odysseus because that's what the page is on right now.
Convenient.
Agent Okami and Agent Odysseus, as you are in the apartment of Marlo Griffin, you've looked at the crime scene, or you looked at the murder scene, or the suicide scene, however you want to interpret this. Looking at the blood, major discoveries, kind of coming to the realization of what may or may not have happened, you hear a voice coming from the front door. It's Detective Ramsey. Yeah, you guys ready to get rolling? We got to get to the medical examiner's office. Like I said, we got to meet with the Treasury agent.
All right. Odysseus, do you have anything else we need to do here? Did we leave anything unturned or untouched?
No, I think we're good. The only thing we need to... Nope, we're good here. We're done.
Okay. We'll be right out, Detective Ramsey. We're just making sure that we have everything noted here, and it seems like we do, so... We're on our way out.
Out of game for a minute. Ryder, I don't remember, and I don't have any notes on it. What did the guy use to cut himself?
He used a Tonto.
The Tonto. Okay, I do have a note on the Tonto. And that's the same implement that he used to bleed himself out with.
It would seem so. It's right next to the silhouette of blood.
Mm-hmm.
It was right off to the side. And you can see the outlines of the blood spatter as it covered those two triangular shaped bills.
Bills. Okay, so did the blade have any blood on it?
Yes, it did.
Okay. I don't want to be chasing my tail here. I just want to make sure that we did find, in fact, what we think to be the weapon he used to bleed himself. So it's not like we're looking for a third party or another weapon.
Yeah. And with
it looks like that was the weapon.
Okay.
With his affection for the martial arts and all that, it seems to sort of fit his profile that he would do it this way.
Tell me what you guys are doing.
We're exiting the building.
As you guys exit the apartment, Detective Ramsey and Detective Burns are standing by the door. The other two officers are down by the elevator. And Ramsey asks the two of you, so can you shed a little light on anything else you two agents may have found in the room?
Well, it's not so much what we found, it's the way the room was presented. This guy appeared to be a neat freak, and everything was neat and in its place. Nothing out of place at all, except his clothes. He didn't fold them with the usual care that he would have done had he been of sound mind. And that's really what he got. Your forensics team did a good job on this. Who was the officer that collected all the evidence?
That'd be Officer Core.
Gotcha. Has he made a report yet? Possibly we could. Well, when we get a chance, we'd like to see what he has to say.
Yeah, I mean, once they found another suicide, once it was reported to us by the manager of the apartments, Mr. Gacy, we immediately were sent over thinking that, yeah, perhaps this was another one of those suicides that we had seen. And sure enough, it was.
Got it.
So,
yeah, I think what would be of importance right now is either seeing the medical files, the bodies of the other victims as well. Because we know that they're all three suicides and they appear to have links. I'd like to see if there are any other things that, you know, are similar.
Yeah, like I said, Dr. Latta, he's waiting for us right now. And so is the Treasury Enforcement Agent. So without further ado, come on, agents, let's get going.
All righty. Thank you for allowing us to see this.
No problem. Like I said, you know, I've been told to extend as much professional courtesy as I possibly could. Perhaps your insight can help us find out what's going on here. Like I said, everything's pointing to that these are all suicides, but the little intricacies at each scene seems to lend credence that this might be something bigger than just that. So,
indeed.
He leads the two of you towards the elevator. Detective Burns pulling up the rear. You guys find yourself back in the van. And the evening traffic is light. Takes you about 15 minutes to arrive at the medical examiner's office. Everyone exits the van and Ramsey motions for his men to wait at the van. And he's like, well, just the three of us go on up there. There's no reason for the entire team to go up there. You okay with that?
That's fine. Yeah.
He enters the lobby, goes towards the elevator, pushes the button, gets in, pushes the 7th floor. So the ride up to the 7th floor is actually really quiet. Ramsey doesn't say a word. After a few moments, the elevator stops, the door opens, and he leads you out into a hallway to a large white door, and he knocks on it. After a few moments, a tall man in a navy blue suit comes out. He looks dapper as all get up. He looks at the three of you. And when he sees Ramsey, his face actually lightens up a little. He begins to chuckle. He's like, damn it, Don. You gonna make me wait all night for your ass? And Ramsey just shakes the man's hand and introduces the both of you. He's like, yeah, let me introduce Agent Okami and Agent Odysseus. They're from the FBI. They're here to lend assistance with these suicides. And he puts a little air quotes going on. So, agents, this is TE Agent William Dalton. coming to us from Treasury over in, on Pennsylvania Avenue. He's here to look at the money. And this man, that before you, he's about 31 years old, 5'11", 165 pounds, tall and thin. But he seems like he's wiry and well-built. Ramsey opens the door, and you see a room before you. Sterile white with bright overhead fluorescent lights, white counters and metal cabinets that line the far walls, with an electronic scale hanging over one portion of the counter. On the counter closest to you, you see three small plastic boxes. They're labeled Archer, Shaw, and Griffin.
Got it.
As you are looking around the room, you see an individual standing over a body on a table in the middle of this room. It's a man, naked. Not the man standing over it, the man on the body.
That indeed would be weird.
The individual standing over the body is a heavy-set, short individual with a comb over, probably in his late 40s. He looks at the four of you, and he says, "Evening, Don. How you doing?" And Detective Ramsey looks at him and says, "Evening, Dwayne. What do you got for us?" And at that, we switch over to Agent Omega and Agent Odin as they drive through the streets of DC at night in a large sedan with Detective Haynes. As your sedan moves through this dark alley, you see groups of young men drinking from bags and yelling and cursing at passerbys or each other. Scantily clad women in compromising positions, disregarding who watches. And as your vehicle bisects two small streets, a thrown bottle shatters against the rear window, and Baker gets on the gas a little harder, steamrolling it through this alley, regardless of who's standing in the middle of it. Eventually drives through a wrought iron gate and into the parking lot of the Potomac Gardens Apartments. With a footprint nearly occupying the entire block, the property of this structure is a maze of 15 buildings that are right angles to themselves, ranging between 5 to 9 stories tall. Haynes indicates for Baker and Barkley to stay with the ride as he leads the rest of you towards the centermost building. You enter this dirty apartment building's lobby, and your senses are just assailed by a smell of urine, feces, and old liquor. Trash and some homeless are strewn along the speckled linoleum floor, and the directory board just hangs askew at a far wall. Yeah, it looks like we're gonna have to take the stairs up. It looks like the elevator's out. And he points at a sign that says out of order. You boys up for walking up some stairs? You okay with that?
Absolutely. Let's get some steps in.
Wrong agents, dude. But thanks for speaking for them.
Whoa, love what'd you get here?
I'm going to sign off so he can just cover Rice for tonight.
Okay.
Absolutely. We're ready for it. What floor are we going to?
We're going to the fifth floor. Is that okay?
Looks like we don't have any other choice, do we?
No, not really. And he actually seems to be more sheepish than he was at the crime scene and back at the station. It's almost as though being here is just taking a toll on his fortitude.
Real quick, Rice comments and just says to him, "Haynes, are you okay? You seem a little uneasy."
Yeah, you know, I'm just not a big fan of being in this neighborhood. I told you last time I was here and we were talking to Holy Boy, it just seemed to be very problematic, and I honestly felt like we were outgunned. Like I said, I'm hoping that a show of some feds might bend him more towards being more cooperative. So I'm hoping you boys got what it takes, you agents, you know.
Agent Odin here can be quite persuasive when needed.
Okay, well, let's put that to the test then. He leads you up 5 floors. You guys open up onto a floor. And as you're walking down the hallway, you hear babies crying. You hear people yelling. You actually hear an occasional gunshot from somewhere in one of the other buildings. Haynes tries to pay no attention to that as he leads you to the left towards an apartment where a deep bass music is just pulsing through the door. This one's us right here, agents. If one of you would do the pleasure. And he kind of steps back to let you guys knock or do what you do.
You might want to, Haynes might step away from the door instead of just straight back off to the side.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I can do that. And so he kind of does.
Oh, and you want to do the honors here?
Before knocking on the door, is there anyone else hanging out on this floor, on this level? Is there anyone in the hallway?
Observation check.
Ooh, I'm going to fail at 64. And I was supposed to get under 50.
Yeah, you see a few doorways that are open, but you don't know if you see anybody in there or not. The apartments are jet black.
Okay. Agent Omega, just stay vigilant. And I'll knock on the door and then step aside so I'm not in front of the door.
The knock goes unanswered.
Agent Haynes, do we have any particular warrants or anything that we can present to Mr. Holy Boy?
Huh? What? None's been served on him down here. No. He seems to keep fairly clean, but as he's explaining this to you, the door slowly cracks open. And you see this African-American man in his 20s. He's close to 7 feet tall, shirtless with tattoos all over his torso. And you can make out an eye patch over his left eye that's partially obscured by these dreadlocks that spider down the side of his head. And he stands there scrutinizing all of you. A voice is heard over the music from inside the apartment.
Who's there?
It looks like, Haynes is back and he brought some friends. He says in an unusual accent.
Well, don't be rude. Show the detective in and offer him something cold to drink. Scotch? Right, Haynes?
You see the tall, shirtless man step back and open the door wide.
Don't be shy, gentlemen. Come on in.
Cole will enter. Quick exam of the room. How many people are in this apartment building?
You see right now 7 people. It's a complete party vibe. Dim lights illuminated. Several scantily clad girls. Probably minors for all you know. And they're conversing with 3 guys wearing shades and very brazen about brandishing their handguns. They got these chrome automatics that are in sharp contrast to the dark colors that they wear. The individual that was called Darius, who had answered the door, says, "Why don't you all come on in here and we'll talk to the man. You okay with that?"
Let's do this.
Let's go. Darius leads you to the back of the main room where a man in his early 20s sits on a black leather chair. He's flanked by 2 men on either side of this. One stands a squat 5.5 feet tall, looks about 220 in just pure muscle, sporting a do-rag. The other is about 6'5", bald and yoked with muscle as well. He looks like a larger version of the short one. And you see the man, Darius, move to stand beside the shorter of the 2 men. The individual sitting in the chair looks at the 4 of you and says, "I see you for the second time in as many days, Haynes. You keep coming around like I have something for you." Haynes looks down at the man and just says,
"Hello, David.
Please address me properly. At least in my own crib, I've earned it." At that point, Haynes just steps back and gestures to the 2 of you agents to take the lead.
Commanding.
Yeah. Maybe you want to take the lead?
What, you brought these people here? Why don't you go get me a Diet Coke out of the refrigerator if you're just going to come up here and just do nothing?
Well, Mr. Holy Boy, maybe we might be able to work together here.
Finally, a man who can address me with respect.
Seems like you've been having a certain situation happen around in your radius of operation. We wanted to see if you might be able to shed some light.
And what problem might that be in my radius of operation? Who are you anyways? Tell me your name.
I'm Agent Omega.
Really?
The other one's Omega.
You whiteys all look the same to me.
Just have the two of you guys do it.
Actually, it's Agent Okami. I'm there now.
Stepping in.
Cut so much shit out of this damn episode.
Your alcohol-infused delirium is affecting all of us now.
I'm going to start slurring. I'm Agent Odin. And my partner right here is Agent Omega. We've found a string of deaths in your area. What we've to understand is that they might be current employees of yours.
Are you talking about Keisha, Jonda, and Shana?
If that's their names.
Well, that's what I called them. That's what they told me their names were. So you say you're agents. What are you agents of?
I'm currently working with the FBI.
How old are you?
38.
38? Probably been with the agency for about 9 years, pulling down about $84,000 a year. What do you say I double it? You step on the other side of this chair and be one of my henchmen for me?
I don't think so. That ain't gonna fly with me, little holy boy.
Look, I've had a little bit of problems with some of my girls around here. We all got some problems around here.
Well, you don't seem to have much concern of these poor girls that you have.
No, not really. I mean, they owed me money. They were coming up short every week. And they got to make me my money. So the streets ain't free, nor is my protection. Plain and simple.
So, holy boy, you know, my agent friend here, he mentioned he mentioned that we might be able to work together here. Honestly, we're really not that interested in you, per se.
Haynes? They ain't interested in me. Got to keep your heart onto yourself.
We were really more interested if maybe you could provide us with some information. It seems kind of odd that you would be roughing up your employees, let alone murder them. You know, within, as my partner here says, your radius of operations, it seems kind of strange that you would do that. Maybe you've got some other intel that you might want to share with us, and maybe we can keep the heat off from you.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I appreciate that. Appreciate you coming up here, but I got nothing to say to you at all. So, yeah, those three, they owed me money. They need to go get me more notes so I could provide protection that they needed. Kind of a catch 22. And there ain't no way to outrun a 22. At that, he kind of flashes his sidearm just as a posturing point. As he flashes this chrome, from behind you, Haynes shouts at him meekly, You damn near made sure those girls would never have a life. Treat them like that. They wandered the streets. They got to play by the streets rules, Haynes. Told you that the last time you were here yesterday. Take you and your fetties and go home. I got nothing more for you.
Why do these girls need protection?
Hey, Fetty, you're fed and you've never been to D.C.? You don't know what the streets are like out here at night?
I was led to believe that these are your streets. Why would...
No, this is just an area that I run a little bit, along with the rest of my fellow entrepreneurs around here.
Must not keep it in that tight wraps, because you can't even control your own girls.
It's got nothing to do with that. I told them, come up with the cheddar, and you'll be better. They didn't. The dust. I got plenty of girls looking for my protection that are better earners, that are more prime.
So unless you got something else to say, hit the bricks, Haynes.
Haynes sits there with his head down. We're gonna get you, holy boy. You're gonna find a way. We're gonna get you. We know you're good for this.
You fucking old stupid ass. Get him out of my place.
At that point, Darius comes out from behind the chair again and says,
"You always want to leave now? Or should I call the police?"
"We are the police. Nothing you can say can scare us."
"You're not here on any official capacity. You've got nothing else.
Not yet.
I see you lose an eye poking around where you don't belong, agents."
He kind of points towards his eye patch. At this point, Haynes and the other officer are already walking towards the door, leaving you both still in the room.
"You really want to take it this way, holy boy?"
"I don't know what you want to do."
"I can have 30 agents here in 30 minutes.
Bring them. They got nothing on me."
"I don't have to have anything on you."
"I'm insulated to the gills, my friend."
"We'll see about that."
"I'll be here. Hey, gents, I'll be here."
Darius,
show him out.
The tall individual that's shirtless with the tats. "Holy boy gets a little wild at times. I understand. He feels the crunch right now, but he means well. I know that the loss of his girls are hurting him right now. This is kind of how he talks when he's in pain."
Whatever you say. Yeah, we'll see ourselves out."
"Thank you. You agents have yourself a good night."
And as he leads you towards the door, he actually closes it, and you could hear the deadlock engage, and you hear the music turn up. Back at the medical examiner's office, Detective Ramsey and TEA Dalton walk into the room towards Dr. Latta, and they shake his hand.
"How's it been going, Dwayne?"
And you see the medical examiner. It's going well, Don. It's going well. Let me know what I could be of assistance for you." He's like, "Well, we got a couple feds here. They're thinking along the same line that I am. That even though these present themselves as suicides, I don't think they are, and neither do they. So if you could talk to them, I'm going to stand right over here. Do your thing." TEA Dalton looks at Dr. Latta and says, "Hey, Dwayne, do you happen to have those bills? I'd like to take a look at those, please." "Yeah, they're over in those plastic bins along the wall over there. They're labeled Archer, Shaw, and Griffin, and respectively." Dalton starts walking over there. He pulls out his phone real quick and he starts doing something with it, leaving you two agents and Dr. Dwayne Latta to converse.
Also, as Agent Dalton's leaving, it's like, "Agent Dalton, I would also like to see those. So is there a space around here, Dr. Latta, that maybe Agent Dalton can present each of the individuals who have deceased their evidence? Of course, we won't cross-mingle anything and contaminate anything, but I too have questions on these bills."
You don't want to look at them on the counter or
wherever you normally do these things here?"
"I just do them right there on the counter. I mean,
okay. That sounds fine.
Is that okay?"
"Absolutely."
"Okay. Yeah.
So you're going to go and join Dalton over there? Is that what you're doing?"
It would be after we talk with the doctor. I just wanted to let Dalton know.
"Oh, that to wait for you.
That we're also interested in, maybe he can lay the things out so we can see them all together."
He's still doing something on his phone. He acknowledges that you're wanting to look at it also. And you see him. He must be texting somebody or something.
"Well, I will keep in mind to keep an eye on him and see what he's doing. If he's getting a text back and forth or things like that, he could be just talking to his wife or family, or he could be I got the evidence. What do you want me to do? So I'll keep an eye on him to make sure he's not swapping out bills or anything.
Okay.
Like
yeah,
that.
He hasn't even gone to the cabinets yet or to the little
plastic.
No excuses.
Plastic. I'm watching him.
Yeah. He's still doing his thing on his phone right now.
Okay.
And the medical examiner starts pointing at the body. You know, what we have here is just like the other two you brought me, Don. Both carotid arteries have been severed, each one by a deep laceration. You know, like I said before, either one of these cuts, they would have done the job. As for why two cuts, I'm still in the fog about that right now.
Did you recover the weapons that were used to for each of the individuals that cut their throats?
At that point, Ramsey steps up and he says, actually, they're at the evidence locker back at the precinct right now.
Briefly tell me what those were at the previous place with Mr. Griffin. It was a edge blade, a knife. What were these ones?
Are you talking about the body that's on the table right now? Or are you talking about the previous victims?
I was just saying the previous victim, Marlo Griffin, used an edge blade. What were the weapons used to cut the necks on these two?
Miss Shaw was with a serrated kitchen knife, and Mr. Archer was with a box cutter. It looked like he had it's really strange because he cut one side of his neck and then he changed the blade out and cut the other side. At this point, the ME kind of goes blank and just kind of drifts off. Like he's looking off into space at this point.
You need a break. You've seen a lot.
Ramsey kind of steps up. He's like, hey, Dwayne. Dwayne, what's going on with you? Huh? No, I'm good. I'm just a little tired. I'm sorry. Where was I? Agents, what was I saying?
You were letting us know about the type of weapons used for these suicides. Also,
What was that?
Can you also tell me about these bills? Have you been checking these out as well?
Yeah, I saw the... I filed them away.
You didn't do anything like unfold them and refold them or anything like that?
No, I just put them in the... I'm sorry, Don. I'll be right back. And he goes towards the restroom. And you hear him whimpering and throwing up at the same time. And Don looks at the two of you. And he looks down at Dalton. And Dalton just kind of looks back and throws his hands up in the air and just keeps going on his phone. And Don's like, let me go check on him real quick.
Okay.
So he goes over, he knocks on the door. Hey, Dwayne, you all right in there? And you hear some mumbling. And let me in there for a minute. And the door kind of cracks open and Ramsey goes inside. The door stays cracked open. And he's kind of leaning over the man and he's talking to him and whatnot.
Okay. I say to Odysseus, I'm also keeping an eye on TEH and Dalton. Can you also keep an ear out for the doctor? I'm concerned that he's going through something and I have no idea if it's linked to what the victims went through, but mayhaps he fiddled with $10 bills that he shouldn't have, and I don't know. Just keep an ear out for him too as well, and I'll move over to TEH and Dalton and proceed with the looking at the evidence. That's not where the body is, right? It's somewhere else.
No, the body's on the other side. Like you imagine that the door is against the right wall.
Okay, I'm more concerned about seeing the evidence than the body's dead.
The body's on the other side of the room, and the evidence little cabinets are on the opposite of where the body's at. So I'm imagining you're crossing over the room to go join Dalton.
Yeah.
And you see him, he's got his phone. He kind of chuckles, laughing at something that may be on his phone or whatever. He just closes it down. He's like, oh, fuck, this is hilarious. All right.
What are you watching, some videos or something? Anything you can send to me? I could use a laugh right now.
No, it's my ex-wife. Just fucking whatever. She wants more money, and she wants to get married now. whatever good
to
luck
to you
I'm
or
bold.
To someone else.
It's not to me. I wouldn't. Whatever. I just worry about my boys at times. But you know, what are you gonna do? We're in a city that never sleeps. Anyways, let's get this over with. So he goes over to the three little cabinets, and he opens up the first one. And you see inside are two still bloodied, folded $10 bills. They're folded in a triangle that overlap each other.
Hmm.
And he pulls the first one out, and he's looking at it, and he sees something underneath the blood and kind of scratching a little bit on it. He's like, what the fuck ever. And he looks in there, and he sees that there's another folded $10 bill in there, and he pulls it out, and he looks at it. And he starts shaking uncontrollably. You see his knees buckle, and he barely catches himself on the counter before his jaw cracks into it.
Oh.
Are you looking at the bills?
Well, I think I'm looking at trying to help him before he spills everything out and commingles everything.
Okay.
I mean, I can see the bills, but I'm not doing like anything other than just seeing them.
You just see him trying to grab the edge of the counter. He reaches for his waistband and pulls out his 9mm sidearm.
I'll immediately try to take that, as I am probably sure that I'm seeing the signs of breaking sanity and don't want him to grease himself or try to grease us.
Make a dex check.
Under 15, 8.
Tell me how you disarm this agent.
I'm just trying to grab the gun first so that he can't do anything with it. And I will yell out, you know, we have a, you know, Dizziest weapon. And I'll go and I'll grab that.
Fucking bitch is trying to take my life.
Okay, obviously he's under strain.
You strip the weapon, or do you strip the weapon, or do you lock the arm up?
I'm going to try to strip the weapon from him.
Okay, you managed to strip the weapon. In the hallway of the Potomac Gardens apartment, Haynes and his Detective Arello look at you, Odin, and you, Omega.
Well, that didn't go the way we thought it would go. I mean, I thought you'd get him to talk.
The intelligence level on Holy Boy doesn't seem quite to be consistent to be killing his own prostitutes for any reason. It seems like he's more hurt by losing them than what he would gain. I don't think he would be the right cause behind all of this.
He's evil. He sold his soul to the devil.
And there's evil all around, but in my personal opinion.
So do you have, you don't get a feel for this guy? I thought for sure you guys would have some in or be able to make this guy squeal or something. I thought we had him on the ropes.
He's bold. He doesn't seem to care about your credentials or the police at all, Haynes. What do you know about this guy? It seems to me that you guys don't know much about Holy Boy here.
He's a high school dropout. I've dealt with him on a few minor run-ins when he was a minor. He seemed to make it big doing what he's doing. We just can't catch him at it, but I know he's got to be good for these. He's got to be good. The guy's guilty. Just look at him.
I don't know what kind of police work you're used to, but that's not a killer.
I don't even know what to say anymore, fellas. I really don't.
I'm sorry to disappoint Detective Haynes, but unless you get him separated from his group and get something concrete on him, he doesn't seem like to be the mastermind.
Where you boys staying tonight? Do you want me to drop you off someplace? What are you guys going to do? Where can I drop you off? This is fruitless at this point tonight. I think we all need to get some rest.
Let's go back to the police station. We left our vehicle and we told the other agents that we'll meet them there. If anything, please just give us copies of what you got. And sure, we'll try to dig in deeper, but I'm with you. It ain't right. but I don't believe Holy Boy is the mastermind behind all this.
Well, I honestly hope you're wrong, agents, because if you're not, I don't know where to go next.
Just keep us in the loop.
He leads you back down through the stairwell, back into the parking lot. You guys pile into the sedan and you guys head back to the DC Metro PD. Back at the medical examiner's office, Odesso, you hear each scream out, "Weapon." You see in a flash this gun come out, and you see faster than that flash each disarm this individual. It's that TEA Dalton. He's on the floor, almost in a fetal position, crying, reaching for something else at his ankle with his left hand.
Okay, I'm going to try to stop him from reaching. He's probably going for his backup.
Fucking bitch's shoulder.
You see him grab the handle of a Ruger Security 6 with a 3-inch barrel, trying to pull it out past his pant leg, but in his frustration, he's having a tough time because he didn't pull his pant leg up. Tell me what you do.
I'm going to try to strip the weapon from him, although I'm not as dexterous as each is. So what I'll do is I'll just try to grab his hand with both of my hands and then pull the weapon out just by running it along if he hasn't got a good enough grip on it.
As you're doing that, yeah. Ramsey comes out of the bathroom to see what's going on. Make your dex check, Odesso.
Ooh, this is good. I got a 25 and I need to get under 55. So I got a 25 under 55.
Okay, you strip that weapon from him too. Ramsey runs up to the three of you. What's going on?
He's losing it. He just got a text from his ex-wife. She said she was getting more money.
What do you mean losing it?
He pulled his gun and was going to, what I feared, shoot himself here. We need to secure him so he's not a threat to himself.
Bill, get a grip! Get a grip!
Both weapons are gone now?
Yeah, both of them are out of his possession. Get a grip! And you see him reach down and grab the man by the collars and start slapping him around. You know,
nobody puts their hands on my face. my father, don't put his hands.
He starts calming down, panting, sighing, and just completely defeated, just lays on the floor, tears and spittle forming a puddle under his face. What the fuck, guys? What the fuck is going on?
Odysseus, do you have this?
Yeah.
Check on Dwayne.
I'm going to go check on the doctor.
Okay. Does he have any cuffs on his belt that we could restrain him with?
I'm sure he does.
Yeah, that would make sense. It's part of his uniform, so I'll put the bracelets on him until he calms down.
Each, as you go to the restroom to check on the doctor, you see that there is a large puddle of blood under him. You see that both sides of his neck are cut and a scalpel is laying right beside the toilet bowl. And I'll see you guys next session.
We should have saved the doctor. He has more information.
It's unfortunate.
I'm telling you, it's them damn bills.
He's so... I don't want to say that because that's probably racist.
Everything is nowadays.
He seems to blend in to this chair.
Oh no.
Run that again. Crossed the take line about, too. No, take about 20% off that.
That's the juice talking.
All right. Here's what you I know where you're going, but just say that the room is kind of dimly lit and there's a lamp like hanging over, like the old 70s style.
I'll figure this out.
Bigot.
Come on, Archie.
Get out of my chair, Edith. We're going to do the coloreds tonight. All right, I got to cut all this shit out.
Thank you for joining us once again on Roll the Hard 20 Podcast. Remember, you can find us and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora Radio, iHeartRadio, Amazon Podcasts, and Audible. And if you like what you're listening to, be sure to leave us that 5-star rating and review. Don't forget about our YouTube channel at Roll the Hard 20. So if you're into watching and you want to help support the show, then head on over and hit that subscribe button. It really does help the show out. We can also be found in the wild on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So don't forget to look for us there and check us out. You can also contact the show directly at rollthehard20podcast@gmail.com or head on over to the website at rollthehard20podcast.com where you can download the current show directly, pick and choose past shows from our archives, or view our galleries. We've got a lot of stuff posted over there, so check us out. And finally, join us on our Patreon at patreon.com/rollthehard20podcast where you can become a hard slinger and pick up swag. So until next time, keep your dice warm and your glass topped off as you roll those hard 20s.